Okay, hello. This is Aram Zuckerscharf and
Keith Wick.
And we're here with Patriot Games, the first episode of George Mason University's Gamer Podcast. So, Keith, what have you been playing lately?
Lately, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter IV for the Xbox 360. I'm very pleased with how it turned out.
I was looking at some of the pictures from that. I saw they have some funny-looking animations.
Yeah, but the pictures don't do it justice. I think the fluid animation style is probably what made it so amazing. It took my favorite medium, a fighting style game, which is 2D fighter, and put it up with 3D visuals. And the game style works pretty flawlessly, I think.
It's cool. I mean, I have to admit, having been a computer gamer until, I guess, about 3 years ago, I never really played that many fighting games. But it looks like it's a lot of fun. I downloaded the old Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, whatever it's called these days.
Have you played much of that yet?
I have, but I can't seem to beat anyone.
I agree. It's unreasonably difficult. And you run into that same problem with Street Fighter 4. The final boss, Seth, is ridiculously hard to fight, even on very easy, which is the easiest difficulty. I don't know why the developers decided to do that, because it's kind of discouraging, especially for the casual gaming audience, to be playing a game where, you know, you get to the final boss after about 6 rounds, and then you get your ass handed to you repeatedly.
I mean, do you really think that Street Fighter is aimed at the casual gaming audience, though?
No, I mean, of course there's that niche audience that really enjoys just kicking ass and showing off. You'll find that particular subcultural group of gamer, I think, especially at conventions where they have the opportunity to show off their skills, but they also populate the internet. I know that you haven't had a chance to play Street Fighter 4 yet.
Nope,
I've had the misfortune of playing Street Fighter 4 on Xbox Live, and I only fought in 4 rounds or 4 fights, but everyone I fought was either Ken or Ryu, and that infuriated me because I feel like we're going to have this army of Kens and Ryus online just because they're simple to use and they have pretty easy to link attacks. But we'll see if that changes. I really hope it changes, or I'm going to get really bored with it very quickly.
Yeah, well, with all the downloadable content packs that are coming out all the time, I'm sure they'll rebalance or add new characters or new moves or something.
I'm excited. I'm hoping that they'll come out with new downloadable content, because if you look at the jump from Street Fighter 3 to Street Fighter 4, there is a large disparity in the number of characters that are offered. In Street Fighter Alpha 3, for example, I can't remember the exact number of characters, but I just bought it for PSP so I could play it when I'm walking around, I guess. And there are probably twice the number of characters in that game to play as. So
cool. This weekend for me was all Dead Space all the time. I went through the entire game and took me about 12 hours.
Right. About the same for me.
I don't know what quite to say about it. I'm not sure if I like it, even now that I've finished it. It, like, on one hand, I understand that it's like EA's first real original property, at least for a while, and so I feel bad for criticizing it on their work as an original property for it, but I don't know how else to describe it. It almost feels like it doesn't have a soul. All the real elements are there, you know, like the gameplay is good. I like the weapons. The character animation is pretty nifty. Even the voice acting I thought was pretty good, and the music, but and the, you know, the creatures are all nasty and horrible
but
looking.
The story.
But the story, I don't know. My the first thing that really put me off, because I'm a science fiction person, and so the first thing that really put me off was, I mean, they were obviously trying to make it a hard science fiction story, and then they're talking about how they're pulling huge chunks out of the planet's crust while there are colonists on it, and that was the first thing where I was like, wait a sec, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
So, I felt like in the story of the game, you get to the end after playing it for 12 hours, and you're not satisfied because there was an epic ending to the story and now you're flying off to safety, but more like, oh, I finally don't have to deal with these onslaughts of creatures after surprising, you know, breakout of creature after surprise attack from another creature. It's like the whole game, you go from one kind of action-packed moment to the next. And that was fun, but after a while, it got to be kind of formulaic.
I mean, I actually found the last half of the game a lot more appealing than the first half, simply because the first half, it seemed like there were these two people who were always ordering you around, and they were arguing with each other, but you really didn't care about either of them.
No, I mean, you felt like you should have shot them and ended the argument right there, and you probably could have if there wasn't that big, thick glass separating the two of you.
Yeah, even when you had the chance, I think there may have been at least one or two times when you could have shot either of them, but the game doesn't let you.
And I would love to talk more about that, but I feel like we would give spoilers, and that's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was definitely predictable, and I don't think that that's necessarily a problem. I think that they were sort of stuck in between. I think maybe on one hand they were trying to be campy, and on the other hand, they were trying to be this cool, hard science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And they got stuck in between. And in some cases, the results were just weird. Like, the whole game mechanic is built around you being an engineer, and you go through the game using engineering tools as weapons, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Except, all of a sudden, I had it by the second level, I think it was. You get an assault rifle. It even looks out of place. The design of the weapon is all off. It was very strange to me. And now it's sort of trying to make me play it again. And I looked on that live, and there's all this downloadable content so you can reskin it and add new weapons and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not sure if I really want to play it a second time around.
No, I feel games like Bioshock deserve a second playthrough, but Dead Space really left me feeling unfulfilled, just like Assassin's Creed, where you played through it and it was an epic adventure. And it was a fun story, but then you get to the end and you're like, okay, it's done, and why would I be motivated to go back? They give you the opportunity to run back around and unlock things, but why would I want to? I mean, there's no motivation.
Yeah, I mean, in some games there is, even if there isn't. Like, I played through last week, I finished my third playthrough of Fallout 3.
For which you're insane.
Yeah, which I got every single achievement on Xbox. And it was fun because each run through, it was a different game in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first time I played, I was like a little small arms sniper person. And I went around with weapons with scopes and shot people that way. And the second time, I was a melee person, so I punched people or set them on fire with a flaming sword, you know? And the third time, I did heavy weapons. And of course, there's all the different player things that you can be good, evil.
And would you say that those change the game significantly enough that playing through another time is a different alignment is a big motivator?
Yeah, I think that for Fallout 3, playing through a second time, at the very least the second time, was a big motivator, just because there's stuff that you can't get the first time around, you know? Because if you're one alignment or if you're the other alignment. The big one being, of course, at the very beginning of the game, you're given the choice to, the first town you come to is Megatunnel. You're given the choice to either save it by disarming the nuke or blow it up.
I thought that was quite funny.
And I thought the hilarious part of all of it was that the time I went through and blew it up, it still didn't get rid of that quest giver, Moria. You didn't encounter her when you
played? I believe I did.
And she has this annoying quest line. While it's great for your experience and it gives you some decent stuff, she's literally the most irritating NPC in the game.
She is, I agree. And she's probably one of the most irritating people in any game.
Yeah, definitely. And I was so looking forward to her being nuked, and I blew up Megaton, and, you know, on a whim, I come back. Because it remains a travelable location. It's all full of smoke and stuff. And she's still there. She's a ghoul. And you get to follow her back towards Underworld or whatever it was. But quickly going back, it was funny that you should mention Bioshock. Because I was thinking about Bioshock when I was playing Dead Space. And that both of the main characters don't talk. And in Bioshock, it works and makes sense. And in Dead Space, it was just incredibly aggravating.
Right. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, first of all, in Bioshock, I think maybe there are three instances in which you directly interact with someone who isn't trying to outright kill you, an NPC, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you know, there's a certain understanding that is revealed at the end of the game that makes it all make sense. But also when you do there, you're given the sense that you're trapped by the choices. There isn't anything you can say because there isn't anything you can change. But in Dead Space, you just want to... I think I must have at least once yelled at the TV saying, for God's sakes, just tell him to shut up.
I can understand that. And then, you know, partway through the game, that becomes irrelevant, really. But even so, I can understand where you're coming from.
So... And after I had finished, I went and I downloaded the Dead Space animated comic.
Mm.
Just because I was curious. I had heard about the animated comic version of Watchmen. I saw some previews of that, and it was weird but interesting. And the Dead Space comic was... It was cool that it revealed the backstory, but I feel like for an animated comic, the static characters, or whatever, I don't even know what you call the illustrations, were just really crappy. I don't know how else to say it. It was disappointing.
Okay. Well, we should probably do a rundown then of the games that we just talked about, because obviously they're important enough for us to mention, but how did you actually feel? How would you rate Dead Space?
I'd say maybe... how are we gonna rate them? That's a big question in gaming journalism.
True. I'm a fan of the ABCDF scale, but I don't know. What's your opinion on that one?
Okay, we can do the ABCDF scale.
Well, we're in college. I think it makes sense contextually.
Sure. Let's see. I guess I'd give it a B minus. That a qualifiable grade, because it had everything that it needed to be a good game, it just couldn't pull itself together. You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like, at the very least, it was a good thing that I went out to buy it just to support EA in the idea that they can make games that aren't based on movies or the NFL.
I still feel like it's going to be released as a movie after the fact, though.
Well, I don't really have a... I think that's a good thing. I like the idea of movies based on games if they work.
Unless it's Chun-Li.
Or what was that other one that never got made? The whole GameSpot controversy.
Oh.
Kane and Lynch.
Well, and Blood Rain was pretty abysmal.
Yeah, that's true.
But we can save that for another podcast. I probably felt that B plus, A minus. I thought that the game was really well polished, but I felt that the story was lacking. And that to me was the only real big issue, was that I didn't feel like there was a cohesive motivation other than for God's sake, I want to live, which is a pretty strong motivation, but you felt like you were in this big epic atmosphere and yet all you're doing is running from location to location and without any real goal. So there's that. What did you think? You haven't played Street Fighter 4 yet.
Yeah, but give us your rating.
I would have to say Street Fighter 4 gets an A-. I really thought that they did an amazing job with the visuals. I have to say that one of my most nitpicky grudges with the game is the J-poppy, Englishy music at the beginning of the opening scene. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet. No. Had the misfortune of seeing it yet. It's got beautiful visuals, but then there's this ridiculous pop song overlaid over them. So it's just a real disconnect. Again, that's a tiny gripe, but the combat system is very deep. There are lots of different things you can do with EX moves, and focus attacks. And the fact that they've, appropriated what was K Groove in Capcom versus SNK2, I don't know if you've ever played that, where you build up a special meter as you're attacked, In this game, it's your revenge meter, and you can use special moves with that, or you can use them as you actually physically attack and build up your special meter. And I really liked the addition of two options for special attacks, because it really kind of gives you the opportunity to fight back if you're just being, you know, bludgeoned to death, and you're helpless at that point. You can just fight back with an awesome super attack. But there's a pretty nice cast of characters, and I love the style of the game and how it retains the 2D roots. I really liked that.
Cool.
Okay, so we're almost done now. Is there anything you'd like to conclude with?
I would say that stay tuned for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about what's going on in the gaming world. We're going to be talking about some more games coming out, including Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, I played the demo. It was interesting.
The demo was interesting. I had some connectivity issues trying to do it online, but I think that's just campus network. But I think that we have some interesting things to talk about. Some Pokemon is coming out again. Nintendo thinks that they can keep rehashing the same game. And what's funny is I'll probably buy it. I'm a sucker for that damn game. But other than that, no, I think that I'm excited. I'm ready to do something like this. It's fun.
Okay, yeah, this is good. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be making one next week, it being spring break and all. But after that, we're going to keep going, and these podcasts will be released on a weekly basis at a regular time, which will be however long it takes for me to wind this up and post it online after we've done. That'll be the regular time.
Sweet deal.
Okay, then. Well, this is Patriot Games, and this is
Keith Wick
and Aaron Zuckerscharf. Thank you.